Wanted to welcome everyone to Abundant Faith Christian Center, where the reason we exist is to reach the world through faith, hope, and love, and 1 Corinthians 13:13. And so I especially just want to welcome our family members who are incarcerated or are in some form of a location where you feel physically bound, whether that be the hospital or a wheelchair or maybe even someone who's being held against their will. I mean, there's just so much sex trafficking out there. We just don't know what people are experiencing, but somebody is going to hear this word today, and we know that you're watching, and I just want to encourage you that God sees you, and no matter how hopeless your situation seems, he has freedom for you through an authentic relationship with him. It's personal, and he has so much for you. And so to all of those who are watching from home, whether you're at work, in your cubicle, in your car, somebody is probably crying over a sink full of dishes like I often do. Just sometimes you're frustrated. You don't want to spank your children. You're listening to messages to get through. You have a lot going on. And so we just want to welcome you all as well. And then, of course, to everyone who's in the building, give yourselves a hand for making it today to this worship experience. I also want to thank our pastors, Jerry and Gita Das, who are family for me. So I don't know if that's like fortunately or unfortunately, but they didn't have a chance to choose me. And I say that because a lot of times we can choose like our business partners and who we go to school with and who we play sports with or where we work, who we're loyal to by spending our money at their locations and their businesses. And so many times we have all these choices, but we can't choose our family. So I actually married into their family, married their eldest nephew about almost actually 11 years ago. And so you're stuck with me. You're welcome. And so thank you all for being such a blessing and much more to not only my family, but thousands of families around the world. So thank you for that. Speaking of family, I have a really huge family, and I'll just kind of briefly, so you all can get to know me a little bit better. My name is Leanne Prather. I am originally from Georgetown, Illinois, and I really have a huge family. Like my mother, Marsha, who I thought about it yesterday, she's at least a 15-year cancer survivor, and she'll be 63 next Sunday. Same age as somebody else who I will not mention, but she's 63. She's one of nine. Then I have a stepfather, Richard, my stepmother, Bridgia, and then my father, my natural father, which to me, biological, natural, whatever. I have two fathers, but they're both named Richard. And so he's one of seven. And then I have my mother-in-law, Carolyn Doss Prather, and she's one of nine, right? And then my father-in-law, Ardell Prather. So just kind of giving honor to my family, my parents, and to everyone. But I can just tell you that having a large family, I can attest to experiences that, you know, where there's dysfunction and there's function, there's a lot of times of joy and also times of sadness. But while we can't choose our family, we can choose how we navigate all of our relationships. And so regardless of, you know, the size, ethnicity, the culture of your family, your history, your background, whether it's good or bad, godly experiences or not so much, each of us has the ability to choose to love God, love people, and love your neighbor as yourself. And yes, that can be your family as well. So a few of the things that Pastor's been talking about this month has been, of course, all of it is around love. But the first message was love pursued. So he talked about how God knows you, he loves you, and he still pursues you. So like, he knows that we're a hot mess. At least I can speak to myself. I don't know if you're a hot mess, but I'm a hot mess at times. And so he still loves you. He still uses you. He still pursues you. He still desires relationship with you. And so the other thing Pastor talked about was love being, you know, one thing, the main thing, and how God is just always at the forefront, and that he's the most important thing. And then last week they did the panel with Jasmine and Marlon and talked about how love is in dating relationships and appropriate love, and how intimacy is not just sex, but that it is It's more than that. And so intimacy is oftentimes seen as something that's unholy. Of course, that goes along with sex as well, because people, the enemy uses people to taint what God created. And I was even talking to, I won't go into it too much, but I talked to my son. I don't want to embarrass him, but I talked to my son about things and just trying to give him an understanding, because I want to be his first teacher to a lot of things, because I want him to learn the ways of the Lord and to know that, relationships are important, love is everything, and that God's way is the way it was created and intended, and that things are pure, and that we have to recognize how the enemy kind of turns those things around to try to confuse youth and adults as well. So before I go into prayer, I just want to let you all know that we always pray over your prayers that are submitted. Like, the enemy wants you to feel unheard. Some of you that submit those prayers, he wants you to feel irrelevant, unseen, but God hears even the most intimate thoughts whispered toward him. So talk to God. Additionally, I also just want to encourage you to start or continue sowing into the kingdom of God. I do want to be clear and let you know that God doesn't need your tithes. And he doesn't need your above and beyond, which is your offering. But boy, does he want to use it. Like, he wants to bless you. And so why not, you know? And that's a way we worship God. That's a way that we show love. And so I just invite you to continue to worship the Lord in giving. And, you know, just continue to celebrate God and be just exceedingly glad in all that he is to you. So let's go ahead and pray. We've covered how to give, and so I won't go through that. But so, dear Heavenly Father, reveal your truths today. Frankly, we are fully aware of the facts. Some of us are in jail. We're fully aware of who we're connected to and the choices we have made, the scars we have, the residue, and yet we are more aware of what we cannot see. And so, that being your inner workings that brings you glory, God, in these few short moments, we just ask that you bless this time that we have together. Show us our next steps to fulfilling purpose in you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to brag on my boys. I'm not even sure that they're awake because it's spring break, and so they stayed up all night. but I have the most amazing, smart, handsome, God-loving, honorable, talented, and thoughtful sons on the entire planet. and I am here to brag a little bit, I guess, because, more importantly, like, I think about it because we talk so much about, like, oh, girl, who did your hair, and where'd you get those shoes, and what team did you go for in the Super Bowl, and did you see that UFC fight, you know, the uppercut? I mean, dude got knocked out last week. Like, we talk about all these things, and we celebrate all these things. We talk about the Jordans and how Southwest Airlines is wonderful because we get to pick our own seat, and even our grocery store delivery person, because I use Instacart, you know, all of these things. And how often is it that we publicly and proudly and positively speak over our children? And so while I know you didn't come here today to hear me brag on my children, it brings me just to a thought of how amazing they are, and how they are enough, and how God made no mistake when he created them, just as he did with you and your children. And so I love you boys. I have the greatest job in the world, and it is tough. It's tough, but it's so rewarding, and I'm so grateful to be a mother. And so I love you boys, and I thank you all for helping me to be a better person. You really do. And so just to give you a little bit of scripture to all of the bragging I just did, we'll look at Philippians 1:3-5, and I'll go into my bag of things. I feel like I have, like, I'm going to pull out a rabbit or something out of here. okay, so this is Paul, and he's talking to the church of Philippi and also some other followers of Jesus. And actually, before I go into that, I want to mention something. So all children are capable of advancing the gospel, and that's where I'm going with this in Philippians. But I do want to talk about how children, young people, I want you to never discount your age. Josiah, my son, in the Bible, he was a young king. So many times we discredit ourselves and we think like we're not good enough, but the love of God covers us and he will equip you for what he called you to. And so when Jeremiah was 3 years old, he was attending a Montessori school, and he shared his faith and was talking to a little girl about Jesus. And he didn't tell me about it for, I don't know, 6 months, maybe even a year or so later. But eventually, I ended up coaching the little girl in soccer about a year ago. And the father of the little girl came up to me and said, "Hey, I don't know if you knew this, but when our children were 3 years old, your son talked to my daughter about Jesus." And she remembered, and she came home and she told me about it, and it really made me think about some things. Now, I'm not saying that he is saved or is not. He professes Christ. I'm not sure. But what I want you all to recognize is that anyone can be used to advance the gospel. It doesn't matter where you are. So just lead with love, you know. Always lead with love. So just as Paul mentioned, I'll read it. Philippians 1 and 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for you all with joy and delight. And so, just reading that short part, it's really just talking about how when Paul was imprisoned, he was full of joy. Even though he was bound physically, he's like, this is my greater joy. And he always was joyful when he thought of the church of Philippi and the Christians in Philippi. And so Paul rejoiced in unity in Christ, the church of Philippi, and then the like-mindedness, and also in how they work together for the sake of the gospel. So the Christian life brings suffering. And that's kind of one of the things I want to talk about, is that, you know, it brings suffering, it brings pain, and even persecution, yet it says that the believer never suffers alone. And so I can tell you that I'm so grateful to my sons and my family, friends, you all, church family, most importantly, God, who never, ever allows me to suffer alone. And then God causes all of us to triumph. Amen. So a few years back on a Sunday, service had ended, and I don't recall if I had like shared a message, or I'd said something on a microphone to some extent. And so I actually had just this beautiful mother of the church walking toward me after church. She was just walking across the sanctuary, and I thought, oh, you know, maybe she wants to, I don't know, say hello or pray together or whatever it was. But then the closer she got, I could see kind of this look of disgust on her face. And I was like, do you ever, like, you see somebody looking in your direction and you're like, they're talking to you or whatever. And I was trying to get out of it, and I realized like she was totally looking for me. And so whatever happened, I must have mentioned something about my husband passing away. And I do not like walk around like just parading that, you know, that happened and all of that. But in this situation, this woman was clearly irritated with it, because she walked up to me and she said, you know, I'm a widow and I lost my husband too, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, no, ma'am, I didn't know. I'm so sorry. You know, I go into like, I'm totally trying to console her. I don't know how recent it's been, all of these things. And so I was taken aback, not because of what she said or how she said it, but, you know, I wanted to pray with her or whatever. And really, she just wanted to tell me, like, basically stop talking about it because you're not the only one. And I wasn't like, I didn't feel any type of way about it. I wasn't offended. I just thought like, I know people probably get tired of hearing it, but you know, it just comes up in life, and it's life. So you just talk about life, right? And so anyway, when she finally walked away, I realized that she felt that she was suffering alone. and that she and or the life of her husband had been forgotten. Because a lot of times with grief, you have someone pass away, everybody's there. Everybody's there for 2-3 weeks, maybe even a month, maybe 6 months. And then all of a sudden, like, it stops, right? Sometimes that's good. Sometimes you still need people. But I feel like somewhere in there, she felt like she was suffering alone and she had been forgotten. And so Paul reminds us in Philippians that the presence of Christ, Jesus, brings joy, even in the midst of suffering, and that those who believe will not suffer alone. And so what was what was missing from the elderly lady's life? It was relationship, right? So my first point, and I'm going to have to rush through these things, but my first point is love does relationships well. So love builds healthy relationships. And I'm not saying, like, I encourage you to build any old relationship with anybody. You know, keep it healthy, like life-giving relationships, those that don't exhaust you, those that don't exploit you. But God calls us to use wisdom and protect our hearts, but yet build relationships. And so one of the first times that God said something wasn't good was when he made Adam, and then it was Adam and God, and God was like, man, this isn't good, right? And so he built us for relationships. So somehow, some way, you know, that sweet woman who lost her husband, she felt unrelatable, right? You know, unheard, unsupported, and she wanted someone to know that she was not feeling support, and that in her loss, that it felt like nobody cared. And so our Father in heaven also desires relationship with you, not just relationship between us. And so we were created for relationship. So a question I have is, this is kind of moving forward, but when building relationships, a lot of times some people say, like, oh, I don't really want to talk to that person, or that person kind of rubs me the wrong way, or whatever it is. And so just think about this. How can you examine your own heart, your own plank in your eye, you know, if you don't get to know yourself, right? Because before you can really have a sound relationship with other people, you have to, like, know who you are. You have to know that they're not going to make you conform, that you are confident in who you are, and that, you know, you can examine yourself and say, like, okay, where are my downfalls? Where am I possibly not the best person? And how can I be better? So, but, you know, a lot of times we're too busy for that. So we go into these relationships broken because we don't want to spend time with ourselves. And then we go in and we help break somebody else. And, you know, then people end up getting left behind. For example, like the woman, right? Like the widow. And so the enemy loves to destroy families. He also likes to distract us with thoughts of going unnoticed. And so point number two is love can wait. Another way to say it is love is patient, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Have you ever caught yourself in a moment of what I call challenge? I was trying to figure out a good word for that. When your children or your spouse, you're maybe having a discussion with them and it maybe goes south. And so you start praying, God, in the name of Jesus, my children are well behaved in Jesus' name, right? So you start speaking like my husband is everything you called him to be, God, like real aggressive, right? But what you end up doing is, like, you're not really praying to God. You're just praying at your children or at your spouse. And I catch myself doing that all the time. And I have to say, like, Lord, okay, let me back up and, like, truly, truly seek you and be patient and be kind. And so a lot of times I repeat to my children and we declare together, like, I am patient. I am kind. I am the godly son that God called me to be. You know, or I am the patient son, or whatever it is, or I'm the patient mom that God called me to be, because we have to profess these things, even if it seems childlike, because, you know, love waits appropriately. Moving on to the next point quickly. Point three, love has boundaries. And so I brought this welcome mat because I'm getting better, but I was real terrible with boundaries, especially as a single, like before kids. So had this messed up welcome mat all wrinkled up, you know, and I would just, like, say, I'm single, come use me up. Come on, you're welcome, you're welcome, here you go. Oh, you need me to do something? You need me to direct the choir? You need me to join that group, volunteer? Yep, Yep. I'll do it, right? Because I was single, wanting to serve the Lord, pure in heart, was growing in Christ, and totally wanted to be available to him. And I thought, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, your reasonable service. Like, you better do it. You're single. Why not? But we have to establish boundaries. It has to be healthy. It has to be godly. Everything good is not God. And everything that is, I will say this carefully, hear my heart, that everything that is godly is not necessarily in that season either, right? Okay, so point number four, love remains. To remain means continue to exist. So love is sustainable. Love does not leave people behind. You help pick people up and encourage them. You help people when you can and when you should. Love does not abandon. So what, your child has done very well over the last 30 years while you've been an absentee parent. They might be overcompensating because they still need you. So, wow. You know, please try. At least try. Like, the worst you can do is get rejected and God's going to accept you. So you'll be able to pick yourself back up and you will not suffer alone. So love places value on things. One thing I wanted to say quickly, too, is one of my, I don't know if it's a pet peeve, you know, this isn't necessarily Bible, but I want to invite you, encourage you, challenge you to stop using the phrase, how are you, as a greeting. How are you is a question, ladies and gentlemen, it is a question. And I cannot take it when somebody asks me, how are you? And before I can turn around to respond, they are in the next room, across the building, out the door. It is not hello. Like, hello is hello, a greeting, hola. Like, hi, right? And then so when you ask me how I'm doing, because of my expectations, and maybe I'm off, but I'm not going to ask, like, legit, if you pay attention to me from now moving forward, if I do not ask you how you're doing, I either don't have time, not in a selfish way, but I literally want to hear how you're doing, and I'm going to allow that much time to hear how you're doing, or I'm not in the space to receive how you're doing, and so I need to wait. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're not cared for and all of that, but it's just like, I want to be appropriate with what I say. And so, you know, to me, there's value on what we say, how we interact, how we build relationships. And so, like, stop using that as a greeting. It is not hello. It's not what's up. What's up is still a question, but that's a little bit better to me than how are you? And then you're out the door before the person can even answer the question. So just consider that. Okay, it's 10:59. All right, I'm moving on. I'm not going to get in trouble. Okay. If people start walking out, I'll just walk out with you. I'll just grab my stuff, like what they do on Kings of Comedy, where they start rolling up the cord, the imaginary cord, and walking out like the Titanic is going down. Okay, I'm not saying go watch that. It's an inappropriate show for children, but I'm grown, and I don't use that language, right? No. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. Goodness, what point am I even on? Great. People are paying attention. I don't even remember. Okay, so love has no comparison. That's where I'll go next. I just have to find it. Okay, love has no comparison. And so, you know, God doesn't, he doesn't overexpect from us. He doesn't expect us to compare what we are, what we're doing to someone else. You know, we are only what God's word says we are, nothing more, nothing less. And so we are not to compare. Like, yeah, it's good to like say, okay, so what are you doing as accountability? Or can you help me with this? But it's not for us to compare how God treated someone, quote unquote treated, because it's all our perspective. Like, God's word is true and consistent and real. And so how we feel someone was treated in a certain situation, or this person was cured of cancer, or this person was resurrected, or this person wasn't, or whatever it is, like, we cannot compare, because when God created us, he didn't compare us to anybody. So we have to just ultimately say, like, my calling is different than someone else. I walk in full confidence of that, and I'm not going to compare, even if it's little stuff. And you know, the enemy works so much through social media that literally I heard a young lady on the radio, on Christian radio yesterday, that said, you know, she's basically in this home now, had a lot of trouble at home, started getting into drugs due to depression and a lot of different things, but that some of that started from her being on social media. And so parents, I just want to encourage you, and even adults, like, be careful of how much time you spend on that, because what you feed yourself with or what you feed will grow. And so when you feed yourself with that, eventually it does impact your psyche. Like, it does mess with you. It messes with your thoughts about yourself or other people. A lot of it's not even real anyway. And it's 11:01, so I'm moving on. Okay. I don't even know my next point. Can't find it. Okay, got it. Okay. Thank you. The cloud. Okay. So. Wow, this is good. To me. Okay, I'm going to mention a couple of other things. What is love? Love is unoffendable. What does love do? It's an action. Love seeks to understand. It does not hesitate. Love is worth it, and people are worth it. And actually, I got that from Neftali Mata. Do you all remember Neftali? Yeah. He's getting married in June. It's really exciting. And so he's in love. But he said that love is worth it, and people are worth it. And I think that is so powerful, because love is totally worth it. It's worth the journey. It's worth the fight. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the relationship. Right? And then people are worth it. Like, people were worth it to Jesus, even if we feel that people weren't worth it to each other. Right? So love is inclusive. So when Jesus talks about how there's only one route, he means, like, he just wants the best for you. Like, this is the route. Like, don't get confused. This is the way, the truth. Right? Okay. So I have a couple of things that I'm going to talk about. And the first one is other or others. And so I'm laying this out because it represents all of the idols and all of the others, people, things that keep us from loving appropriately. And just remember that before we can love, like, we have to love, we have to learn how to love God, love others, love your neighbor as yourself. But in order to love your neighbor as yourself, Pastor already mentioned that you have to love yourself. Amen. And so there's going to be all these things that try to get in the way. And so I just want to invite you to just lay those idols down. And so really the title of my message is Love Lays It Down. Love Lays It Down. And so love lays it down. Love lays down pride, pornography, unseen thoughts, impure thoughts, unforgiveness that really holds you hostage, because when you are not forgiving people, you're drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die, right? We've heard that before. And so you're laying down other or others, and that's on your part. That takes your action, right? So examine your heart and really sit and determine, like, okay, God, here I am. You know, they say, here I am, Lord, send me. But, like, truly, God, here I am. Show me myself. Show me myself and what I need to let go of. But before I know that, I have to be willing, and I have to love myself enough to know myself to then go to God, right? Okay, so this one is Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for you. And so there's a special place in God's heart for you. And literally every single problem, every question of identity, who you want to go to bed with, who you want to go to bed as, who you love, who you hate, all of those things, God felt all of that in that moment, and he laid it down so that you could come over here to the welcome mat, to the most important part, and then lay yourself down. Yes.